Proverbs chapter 18. How many of you, can we be honest? Can we do that? How many of you ever really kind of feel like you're spiritually run down? Now, not physically run down, but kind of spiritually run down besides me. Okay, all right. Most of us, true. How many of you get physically run down? Oh, my soul. preacher mentioned that I got a bad foot. What it is, you folks don't know, it's gout. And it's swollen up real bad, my left foot. And it started on the top of my foot, now it worked its way into the ankle. And I need some sympathy. So if you folks would just say, "Oh, thank you, I feel so much better." A little sympathy goes a long way. How many's ever had a battle with gout besides me? Anybody had a battle with gout? Okay, good for you. You know what it's like, don't you, girl? It's not fun, that's for sure. But anyway, you pray for me, and I'd appreciate it so much. If we were all going to be honest, there are times that we really get physically exhausted and run down. And there's times where we're really mentally stressed and kind of the end of our rope mentally. Same thing is true emotionally. I mean, sometimes your kids just get on your nerves, your boss gets on your nerves, your husband gets on your nerves, your wife needs a good slapping. Not really. And we get run down emotionally, don't we? We're humans. We get physically run down, mentally run down, emotionally run down, and truth is, sometimes we get spiritually run down. And that's what revival is about, is to revive the saints of God. Amen. A revival is not about, there's a difference between evangelistic meeting and a revival. Evangelistic meeting is there to try to bring sinners in, preach the word, and sinners get saved under the preaching of the gospel. A revival is aimed at God's people, those already saved. And dare say there's some folks this evening here at this church that your spiritual battery is run down. It happens to all of us. And if you were to say, "Well, preacher, I want to tell you something, it never happens to me," well, you got a problem with lying then, and your pastor would be happy to deal with you if you just ask him. It happens to all of us. Sometimes our spiritual batteries are pretty low. And we need a charge. And that's why I believe your pastor wants to have a revival. Because there's times in his own life he needs his spiritual battery charged. And the same can be said of his wife and his children. Same can be said of every one of us. There's different spiritual temperatures here tonight. Some of you, your batteries are charged right now, and you just feel topside spiritually, and other you, your battery's about half down, and you're still going along pretty good. And some of your battery is pretty low, and the blinking light on the dashboard is blinking. And some of your battery's just flat. All the juice is out of it. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life I so desperately need something from God, and only from God. Not from a man, not from an evangelist, not from a pastor, not from a friend, not from our mates, not from our children, not from our grandchildren, not from our best friend. We need something that only God can give us. We need a touch from Him to get our batteries recharged. Sometimes of our own making, we'll run our batteries down. Have you ever had a time in your life that when you were young, maybe and somewhat ignorant of an automobile, you jumped in your car and you turned on the switch and you cranked it, And the problem is you're out of gas. It's no problem with the battery at all. But you're out of gas, and you never check the gas gauge, or the gas gauge doesn't work, and you hadn't filled the car up in 3 months, but you keep cranking. 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later, you just ran the battery down, Bobo. How many of you have done something stupid like that? Come on. Oh, there's some honest folks. You finally ran the battery down. The problem wasn't the battery. The problem wasn't the alternator or anything else electrically wrong with it. You were out of gas, and you ran the battery down. All the charge is now out of the battery. Way to go. You know, sometimes we run our own batteries down, spiritually speaking, because of poor decisions and choices that we make in our life. And I have seen it and I've witnessed it over and over again as a pastor of 25 plus years, where some of my congregation one time who really were well charged, full of zeal for Christ. I mean, they were electrical charged themselves. I mean, it was a blessing to be around them because they were so charged up with spiritual energy. I mean, they all charged you just to be around them. But then I've seen that same person, something happened. They lost their charge. That zeal for Christ, the spiritual energy that one time was, I mean, it was captivating. It drew you to them because they were so spiritually minded and you could just sense the Holy Spirit in their life. But now, something's happened in their life. And their spiritual battery's been drained. Something they did themselves, a poor choice, a bad decision, has really cost them spiritually speaking. And sometimes, because things happen the way they do in our life. How many's ever had a financial reversal that happened in your life? It really hurts you, a financial reversal. Has that ever happened to several of you? How many has had an unexpected problem just popped up in your family, a child, a mate? I mean, something really serious that happened in your family, it really took a toll on you. Maybe not of your making now, but it really took a toll on your spirit. I mean, how many of us have had something happen to us that really affected our life? And even to the point, and even as a child of God, we question whether, does God really love me? And folks, that happens, and it can happen to all of us. Because the things that happen in our life that we do, and things that have happened in our life that we're not necessarily responsible for, that happens to us because of the doings of others, can take its toll on us. And in the process of all the agony that it causes, we begin to question, wow, does God really love me? Where is the Lord God? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah? Hey, here I am. Where are you? And it can happen. And it can happen to every one of us. And here's the thing I want to remind us all about. And even when the worst things happen to us, financially, physically, relationship, on the job, at school, in whatever area of life that we find ourselves functioning in, when something really happens, and when the devil begins to come and accuse God and say, where's your God now? You say you love God, but I wonder, does God love you? And if Satan is so clever, folks, ever since the garden, he's come and accused God to man. Amen. He's accuser of the brethren. And he's also accuser of God. And we sometimes, in the midst of all the problems that sometimes seem insurmountable in our lives, we question, does God really love me? Well, I want to remind all of us something. In the midst of all that may happen to us, God does love us. And God does care about us. He loved us so much, obviously, He sent His only begotten Son to die in our place that we may have everlasting life. He already proved His love towards us. And when Satan comes and accuses us that God doesn't love us, that's just a lie right out of the pits of hell. And sometimes when our spiritual batteries begin to seem they're drained, we need to just remind ourselves in the midst of whatever conflict that might be that, hey, God still loves us. And sometimes He may be silent, but that doesn't mean He doesn't love us anymore. Have your children ever did something so upsetting to you, you didn't know what to say to them? I mean, you wanted to... and you wanted to... But you're afraid what might come out your mouth? And sometimes the best thing we as parents to do is remain silent. And I think the same thing is true with God. Sometimes we do something that's so boneheaded, so unscriptural, so anti-Bible, and we act and react not like Christians should, but like the world does. And because of that, sometimes God just doesn't say anything. He's just silent. But it doesn't mean He doesn't love us. He still loves us. And if you're going through something in your life and Satan comes and tells you that God doesn't love you anymore, Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. God does love you. Just go back to the cross of Calvary and remember the day that you were born again. It was because of the love of Christ that you're saved. So remember, when your battery gets down a little bit, just remind yourself that God does love you. Number two, when your battery seems a little low, there might be a problem. There might be a lot of juice in the battery, but there's another problem. Let me illustrate something. Let's say in our spiritual lives, our spiritual car, the energy comes from the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? When we got born again, the Spirit of God came and dwelled in us and giving us the spiritual spark, the spiritual life. It comes from above. When we're born again, the Spirit of God comes and takes residence in our life. It is our energy. It is our source. It is our power, the Holy Spirit. Now, let's compare the Holy Spirit to the battery for the sake of illustration. The battery in the automobile stores up the energy. Then when you turn your key on, the sparks, it goes to the starter, and the starter then sparks and causes the combustion, the engine fires, and it turns over and begins to run. But it's the battery, it stores the initial spark. It's right there. Let me ask you something. Have you had this ever happen to you? And it seemed like it always happens in January when it's about 10 below zero. And you get up in the morning. You know it's cold outside. You can see the frost already on the windows, and your neighbor's walking down the road or the sidewalk, and you see his breath coming out of him, and boy, and you already watched it on TV. It's 10 degrees or 10 below. It is cold. January the 12th. Cold, cold, cold. And it's time to go to work. You get in your car. And the battery's not that old. It just had a new starter put in it. So you're very confident that your car is going to start right up. And you jump in your car and you turn on the switch knowing it's going to fire right up. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All you hear is just the buzzing. He said, man, how can it be? That battery's not that old, just a few months, maybe a year. That's a 7-year battery. I can't be the problem. And I got a brand new starter in it. And you pop the hood. You don't know much about it, but you want to look intelligent, you know, for your wife. So you pop the hood, you look down, and lo and behold, as you're looking at your not that old battery, you're looking at the battery and you notice on the battery terminals and then the battery cables where they connect, there's a lot of white stuff build up. And some of it's kind of yellow looking or green maybe. A pile of it on both terminals. And you go, maybe that's the problem. It's not making connection between the terminal and the battery cable. So what you do, you go get your little adjustable wrench and you loosen the battery cables and you take them off. Then you take your wire brush and you clean off the terminals and you clean off the inside of it and you put them back on, tighten it down, get behind it, and run, starts right up. How many has ever had that experience? Okay. Now, what was the problem? The battery was fine, but the connection between the power source, which is the battery, the terminal, and your cables were unable to connect because there was a corrosion in a build up there, not allowing the current to flow from the cable, from the table, from the terminals, from the battery, down the cables to fire off the starter. There was a corrosion, there was a build up there, hindering the power from getting in to the starter. Now here's what I'm illustrating. The Holy Spirit is our charge. We derive our spiritual life through the energy of the Holy Spirit in us. No question about that. We feed the Holy Spirit. We feed this, our own spirit through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God, through the teaching and preaching of God's Word. It all intertwined there. But the real energy comes from the Holy Spirit. Now here's what I want to illustrate. If we allow sin to corrode a relationship between the Holy Spirit and our spirit, will be spiritually absolutely weakened. And here lies a big problem in the life of a lot of believers in this day and age. They begin to dabble with sin. They begin to practice sin. The Holy Spirit convicts them of that sin. They ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And there begins to be a build up between the Holy Spirit and our spirit. There's no longer that connection that we so vitally need because we allowed the corrosion of sin to insulate us from the energy of the Holy Spirit. And there lies a big problem why there is not revival in our churches among our people in this day and age, because so many of them are not being energized through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there's a corrosion of sin, this insulating them from having the charge they need in their life. They're going through the motions of Christianity. They might be going to church. They might be reading their Bible, but there's still sin lingering and piling up and insulating the Holy Spirit from our spirit, and we're just not happy. There's something wrong. We feel no energy. And there's a corrosion that's taken place. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that happen. Your pastor could say the same thing. When one time he seen an energized Christian, a member of the church, serving God with zeal, powered by the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, you see him no longer so energized. At one time, busy serving the Lord in the church, would not miss a service, teaching a Sunday school class, out soul winning, just busy serving the Lord, energized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then something happens, and so many times what happens, sin enters in, it goes unconfessed, it's not turned away from, and it begins to build up a barrier between the Holy Spirit and our spirit. So what we need to do? Take the spiritual brush of confession and confess our sins. Admit it to God And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And dare say, there might be some in this room tonight that you're not enjoying the spiritual power and energy you once had in your life because you have allowed sin to accumulate between your spirit and the Holy Spirit of God in you. So number one, if we want to recharge, we need to remember that God loves us. Number two, keep things clean in our spiritual life, in our relationship between us and the Holy Spirit in us. Number three, we need to have the right motivation in serving the Lord. Now, what is the right motivation? What should motivate us to serve Christ? The love of Christ constraineth us. Amen? The love of Christ. Christ's love towards us, remembering how much He loves us, and then reciprocate that love, then our love towards Christ then. Our motivation is to please Him. Our motivation should be to honor Him. Our motivation should be to glorify His name, that He would get the accolades, that He would receive the praise. Whatever we do, in word or deed, whatever we do, what do we eat, what do we drink, whatever we do all for the glory of Christ. That's our motivation. But here's what happens sometimes in Christians' lives. They lose their motivation. They're not serving the Lord for the right motives. And what happens many times is this. Here's a person serving the Lord, loves God, and just really on fire serving Christ, and just busy serving Him. And someone says something to him about, boy, you did a wonderful job teaching that class. He'll say, well, praise the Lord, glory to God. And deflecting the praise of man and giving it to Christ where it belongs. And he hears it, and people come to him and say, boy, I appreciate you. And we need to tell people that we appreciate them. We need to tell people we love them. We need to tell people they're doing a good job. We need to do that. But sometimes a person receives that, and Satan will use the praise of man to change our motivation, that we like the accolades. Now, you know who this affected much as anybody I know of? Preachers. Amen? Because if we preach a message and our people comes to us and say, preacher, that was a wonderful sermon, and shake our head and say, you're a tremendous preacher. You're the best preacher I've ever seen. You're the best preacher I've ever heard. You're just a tremendous preacher, and I really appreciate your preaching. You are a preacher machine. And the next guy says something similar to that. Next guy says that, and some lady comes to him, oh, preacher, you just blessed my heart. Oh, what a wonderful preacher you are. And pretty soon the preacher says, I'm better than I thought I was. Some of these folks say I'm the best thing since vanilla ice cream. Some folks think I'm really good. And it can change his motivation. For his motive one time was to honor Christ, to feed the flock. But sometimes we preachers are all too human. And we allow the praise of man to go to our head and change our motives. Now we preach for the accolades of men. Now we do what we do to be praised of man. We're working in the wrong motives and wrong motivation. And folks, here's the point. That will absolutely run your spiritual batteries down. Because when you start taking what belongs to the Holy Spirit and receiving it unto yourself, and you begin to get big-headed, whether your ability to sing or teach a Sunday school class or whatever gift that God's given you, If you hear praise after praise after praise, you've got to be careful because it can go to your head and change your motives, and you start serving not God, but serving more man and to please man for the praise of man rather than for the honor and glory of Christ. I have seen preachers literally ruined, become haughty, big-headed. I'll never forget it, brother. You've seen what I'm talking about. I went to it was Southwide Baptist Fellowship many, many years ago, probably 25 years ago in Chattanooga, Tennessee. No, take it back. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, when Jack Hudson was pastor there at, what's the name of that church here in Charlotte? Northside Baptist Church, Charlotte, North Carolina. And they hosted a Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And a lot of big-name preachers were there. And one guy who was from my state, the state of Florida, was invited to preach. Big-name preacher. And I never met the man. So I wanted to meet him and just say hi to him and tell him how much I have appreciated his ministry. And I went to him, and he hardly would give me the time of day. I mean, he wouldn't even look me in the eye. He would not hardly engage me in a conversation. He would just wouldn't look at me. He would just ignored me. Well, I wasn't a big-name preacher. And I thought to myself, I pray to God that that'll never happen to me. And I have seen people, preachers and laymen alike, sometimes who are bragged on a lot, it goes to their head, changes their motives, and what happens is this, it'll run their battery down because they try to serve God for the wrong motives. And folks, that will drain your battery because you're not giving the glory to God where it belongs. You receive it to yourself. I've seen it happen in church members, in lay people, in preachers. It can happen to any of us. I promise you that. And if you're gifted in singing, you be careful. Make sure you sing for the praise and glory of God, not for the accolades of man. It'll run your battery down. Number four. Here's something that Simon will never consider about this, about running your battery down spiritually. You know, we all have got limitations. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, if preacher says, ask me, I think jokingly, do you want to sing a special tonight? I don't think so. That's not one of my gifts or my talents. God hasn't given me the talent to sing. That's not, I don't have it. So we've all limited in our service to God by our talents that God has given us, and some are naturally talented, and by our spiritual gifts that God gives in the church to keep the church body functioning as one. But we all have limitations by gifts and talents. Here's the point. If we try to serve God out of our gifts and callings, all that's going to do is run our battery down. If I get up here and start trying to sing for you, folks, I am not going to preach anymore this week. I'm going to do you a concert. I'm going to sing for you every night this week. You will be blessed. And if I sing my first song tonight, none of you will be back tomorrow night. I might come back tomorrow night expecting a great crowd of enthusiastic people to hear me sing. It ain't going to happen. And I'll get discouraged. I think, well, these people don't even like me. I mean, if they like me, they'd be here to hear me sing. And I'm going to get down on myself. You know, there's some folks, God hasn't given you the gift to be able to preach. God hasn't given you the gift to even teach. God hasn't given you the talent to sing. But God has given you a gift that you can serve the Lord. This just as important as any other gift. The gift of governments, by the way, it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of governments means the gift to be able to organize. Some of you folks have got a tremendous ability to organize. You can't preach a stick. You can't teach. You can't sing. But boy, you're sure good about organizing, getting things organized. Some of you have got the gift of helps. I mean, if you see a need, bang, you're there and you're serving and you're helping. Where other people don't have that gift, are not even aware of it. But God has given you the gift. And we have all these different gifts in the body of Christ for the whole of the body, that the body will function as Christ would have us all to function together. And when a person starts to try to serve God apart from their gifts and callings, they're going to become frustrated and they're going to become worn out trying to serve God without a gift or a talent. And I have seen that happen more than once. And one last thought, and then we're going to quit. We need to keep things in a proper perspective. By that, I mean this. A lot of times we'll allow temporal things to become more important than spiritual things. Things that are temporal, things that will not last. And sometimes we find our whole life engaged in the temporal things, pouring our time into the temporal things, whether it's the car or the house or some sport or some hobby, things that will not last, and will to the point of neglect of spiritual things. Preacher and I were just talking this afternoon as we were driving together about the number of people in our churches get so busy chasing after the temporal, especially like sports. They got their son in soccer. They got their daughter in ballet. They got their other daughter in girls softball. And they're just running. And their tournaments come. And most have all the tournaments to win on the weekends. And the finality of the tournament is Sundays. And here are people chasing all over North Carolina with their children in tow, chasing after the temporal things that will not last. Folks, we have to guard our lives carefully. If we're going to have a well-charged spiritual battery that will keep us enthusiastically serving Christ and doing what God would have us to do, we just can't not allow the temporal override the spiritual. We just can't let that happen in our lives. And if you're not careful, now listen to me now, especially you young couples with children, if you're not careful, 5, 6, 8 years from now, when your kids get a little older, it can happen to you too. Watch, oh, maybe you're trying to tell me my children shouldn't play softball, my kids shouldn't play soccer. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying just guard carefully the temporal, not allowing that to override the spiritual. Now, folks, Satan wants us to run our batteries down. Satan wants us to be a defeated Christian. And we're engaged in a spiritual warfare. And I've shared just a few things with you tonight I think can help us all in this battle of keeping our batteries charged. Remember, when you get discouraged, that God still loves you. Remember to keep the terminals clean, your sin confessed up. Remember to serve God in the right motivation for the right reason. Remember, you're limited, as we're all limited, and serve God with the gifts and the talents that God has given you. And lastly, keep things in proper perspective. Just keep them in the right perspective, the temporal and the spiritual. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think if we'll put into practice some of these things, it'll help us to go a long way to to keep spiritually charged for the glory of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all.